Praise God. Now, I want to ask you a question this afternoon. How far have you gone today? Now, you'll probably think, well, are you talking about how far did I go in my car today? You didn't go as far as you usually does because the price of gasoline makes you want to hold it down just a little bit. Maybe you walked across the street and talked to your neighbor or down to the block, but I'm not talking about those things. I'm asking you, how far have you gone today for the Lord Jesus Christ and in following His commands and the instructions that He has given us? If you have your Bibles, and I trust you do, you can turn to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And you can open it up and find the 41st verse of that chapter, because that's where we'll look at that in just a moment. And this happens after the temptation that Jesus went through in the wilderness. And then He came out of the wilderness, and He chose some of His disciples that were going to go with Him. And then He embarked upon His earthly ministry. And one of the great sermons that He preached is the Sermon on the Mount, in which this is a portion of it. And it's recorded here. But this verse in the fifth chapter, verse 41, is often overlooked and just passed over casually without ever having any thought really put into it. We know in the New King James, it reads this way. It says, "And whosoever compels you to go 1 mile with him, go two." Now, we overlooked that many, many times. There was a Sunday school teacher, I'm told about, that had a little boy in her class, and she was trying to teach her class this particular verse of Scripture and wanted them to memorize it. So she went over the Scripture with them in the King James from time to time, and she went over it in this particular Sunday several times. And then she said, "Who can say your memory verse now?" And this little boy raised up his hand, and she said, "All right, tell me what that memory verse is." And he said, "Whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him by train." Well, that's not really what the Scripture said, not go by train, but to go true. Now, the background of this passage of Scripture is, and it's important to understand this because it has a great bearing upon the understanding that we have. Now, the Roman Empire had conquered the Holy Land, if you remember. And any time the Romans conquered a people, they would usually take a yoke and they would put it above the gate of the town. And they would call sometimes just the leadership of that town to go under that yoke. Sometimes they would require the whole population of that village to go under that yoke, so that they would know that they were in obedience to the Roman Empire. And whatever the Roman Empire wanted them to do, they were going to do it. In fact, as they went under that yoke, this was a sign that the conquered people would give obedience and tribute to the Romans and many other things. And in that fine print that was called "other things," there was a provision there that said that a Roman soldier or a Roman official could come to you, and if they wanted you to carry a pack or a burden that they were carrying for a mile, you had to do it. You didn't have any way to get out of it. You had to put it on your shoulders, and you had to bear that burden and go that mile that they wanted you to go, or to run an errand for them. It was a must. And the Jewish boys, I'm told, marked a peg in the ground 1 mile from where they lived in any direction, and they'd go and put a peg down. Then they'd go the other mile the other way. They'd put a peg down. Then they'd go a mile this way and put a peg down. And then a mile this way and put a peg down. They wanted to know how far that mile was. And if they were instructed to carry that burden for that Roman soldier or that official, they'd take it to that where that peg was put down in the ground. And then they would just drop it on the ground. Now, when these Jewish people had all gathered on the side of the hill and they were listening to this sermon that Jesus was preaching upon this time, there were many things that he said in there that they understood that was good. They knew that he fulfilled the law. They knew that he was talking against murder. They knew that he was talking against adultery and against divorce and against taking oaths. He said that we're not to retaliate. But when he got down to that part in the retaliation, it said, if somebody compels you to go a mile, you go the second mile with him. I can see them as they were sitting in the audience, their fists kind of gripped and turned white. And they said, what are you talking about? We've got to go under these Roman soldiers because they're obnoxious, they're overbearing, they're hard to get along with. And if they tell me to go a mile, you mean I've got to go more than that 1 mile? I can just see Jewish individual, you know, that little boy comes along and here's a Roman soldier says, here, I want you to carry this pack with me. And he thinks, well, I've got to get this field all plowed and I've got to get it planted. And here I got to take this pack for this Roman soldier, and he knows he can't do anything else but take it. So he jumps over the wall, puts it in his hand, and he half drags it down the road, and he comes to that peg that's right there in the peg, and he said, that's my mile. And he throws that pack down and he says, all right, buddy, it's yours now. I hope you break your leg going on further from here. And then there's another Jewish boy, and another Roman soldier comes to him. And he says, I want you to carry this pack for me. And so he picks it up and puts it on his back, and he jumps over the fence. He matches the stride of that Roman soldier, stride for stride, and he just sings a wonderful song of worship as he goes down the street. And he comes to that peg in the ground, and he just keeps on walking, and he comes to another peg in the ground. He's still walking, and the Roman soldier stops and says, hey, young man, I can't take advantage of you. You've already walked that mile and then some. And then the boy said, that's all right. I'm enjoying this walk. Tell me more about Rome and the sights that I can see there. Maybe I'll get to go there sometime. And that Roman soldier says, son, I'll carry my pack from here on, but I want you to know you've given me a whole different outlook upon you Jewish people. I'm going to have a lot more respect for you. You see, going the second mile does a lot of things for us. It always leaves a deposit of happiness in the heart of the individual who travels that second mile. And we know that's very true. We just do a little bit more and we'll be happy. There's a story of about a famous surgeon was very well known for his ability to operate. In fact, a lot of medical students and people would come and sit in the amphitheater and watch him operate because he was such a good a man who would do things right. And as he was operating and finishing up one operation, he tied a knot in the stitch, and then he tied a second knot in the stitch, and then he tied the third knot. And then an aspiring medical student came to him and talked to him after the operation and said, sir, everybody's left. I want to ask you a question. He said, the medical journals say that after you finish that operation, just one knot is necessary. And he said, I know what you're going to say, young man. You tied three knots, and you want to know why I tied three knots. He said, I'm going to tell you because nobody else is here. I tied that second and third knot because that's my sleeping knot. He said, because when I go home and I lay down upon my bed and I begin to think about this operation, he said, I can rest assured that I know everything's going to be all right because I didn't tie one knot, I tied two knots, and I tied that third knot. Now, I know that they're going to stay. And he said, I can go home and I can rest and I can sleep for that. And so, you know, that gave him a satisfaction of knowing he had gone just a little bit further than he needed to go, but yet he could rest assured. I wonder how many of us as Christians go that second mile with individuals that may irritate us and may push us the wrong way. Do we go that second mile? So that we can lay down at night and say, that's my sleeping knot. I can rest assured because I know that I did the right thing. Secondly, when we go that second mile calls out for the best in others. It calls us to look out for the best in others. I know that sometimes, you know, when we're working for the other individual, there are some things that may rub us the wrong way and things that we don't like to do. I'll just use my wife as an example of this. She goes the second mile because we're hired by that television station to stay on those phones and pray for people. But many, many times there's no one there and the other crew has already left and that place is a total mess. I mean, there's food on the floor that needs to be picked up. The place has got to be vacuumed and all of that. And all of a sudden, when it gets slow, I see she's gone and I hear something upstairs. And it's that vacuum cleaner going back and forth up there. And then I can hear the mop brushing on the floor where she's cleaning up the coffee and the lemonade that's been spilt on the floor. And then she'll come down and she'll begin to do all the downstairs. And I say to her sometimes, why are you doing that? You don't get paid for doing that. She doesn't tell me she's going the second mile, but that's what she's doing. She said, I don't do it for others. I do it for the Lord. She's going the second mile. And God will bless her for that. I just wish sometimes that I had that ability to go the second mile like she does because I want to find that I've driven that peg down and somebody else can do that. But we need to go that second mile because it'll call for us to see the best in others. And then thirdly, the second mile lightens life's burdens. Now this is a grand principle. If we'll understand it, that will help us in our life. And it will help us in our individual home lives as well if we understand that to go on that second mile lightens somebody else's burden. When a visitor comes into your home and you're going to give that individual a glass of milk, you don't go in there and make sure you're going to skim all of the cream off the top of it and just give him the other milk. You give him the whole load, right? Because you want to do the best for him. And when we try to lighten the other person's burden in our home, we know that it will help. I know many at the time, you ladies will understand what I'm talking about. The husband's getting ready to go to work. You're trying to get the kids off to school, and you're trying to fix him breakfast as well, and you're just working up a storm and trying to clear the table off and make sure that the lunches are packed for the kids. And all of a sudden, he comes into the room and he says, honey, can you stop and sew this button on my coat? And she says, sure, I can sew that button on my coat so you can go to work. But inside, she's thinking, I wish you understood I don't have the time to sew that button on that coat. But as he goes to get something else, she lays aside what she's doing. She gets her needle and her thread, and she puts that button on that coat. And when he comes back in the room, she says, "Here's the coat. Next time, let me know ahead of time that the button needs to be sewn on there. And by the way, I'm running short on money this week. I need another $5 to buy something." And he says, "My goodness, you spend more money than I've ever dreamed that anybody could spend. But think what it would be if you tried and she tried to lift those burdens." And he came in while she was busy and said, "You know, on this button is on my coat. Can you sew it on?" She says, "Sure I can." And she lays everything aside and she sews that button on. And she says, "Oh, now you look good as you're going to work today. That was a privilege to sew that button on you. And by the way, I'm just a little short on money. I need $5. And he says, "You know, I've never seen anyone to keep house like you do. You're the best button sewer that I ever saw. And if you're short on money, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to give you $5. I'm going to give you $10. And off he goes. Going the second mile, neighbor, pays off. If we'll just put it down in our book to do it from time to time. And then fourthly, and I've got to hurry because I'm looking at my watch here. Fourthly, God went the second mile for us because Jesus has never given us a commandment in the Word of God that he himself did not keep and did not live. He kept them all. And Jesus is a gift that's given to us by God the Father, because the Word of God says in that scripture that you learned when you were just a little one in junior class or maybe in primary class, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we know that that's one of the gifts that God gave us. He gave us this creation, this world that we live in, with all the beautiful sights. It's made by God. He gave us this book that we call our Bibles. It's our guidebook that tells us how to get into the very place that God can even bless us more abundantly than ever. But man has turned away from God. We've turned our back upon God. But God had gone that second mile because in spite of all that, he gave his Son that we might have life everlasting and abundant. I think most of you might have an opportunity to see the Passion of Christ, that film that came out pretty recently. And did you notice in some of that situation that we read in the Word of God about the soldiers beating Christ, and we see that terrible agony that he went through? But did you pick up on just one little area of that? After they had beaten him so much and they had almost took his life by that beating, that one of the centurions said, "I told you just to whip him, not to kill him." And they were going just a second mile. That centurion, well, that centurion, that he would make you feel just a little bit different about the Roman soldiers that did that upon that occasion. And you just talk to the others that watched, and you look at that in the Word of God. You know that as Jesus was struggling up the hill to Calvary to give his life, they let him talk to his mother just a little bit. They compelled Simon to carry that cross for him. And we don't see that he struggled too much against that. He finally picked up that cross and carried it with a dignity and help Jesus up that hill to give his life. If Jesus did all that for you and I, isn't that going the second mile? Have you gone the second mile for him today? Did you do something to lift somebody's burden off of their heart? Did you do something to brighten them up? You know, we could do a lot of things to brighten people's load, but we get pressed into the mold of the world around us. We see the beggars on the street, and we say, you know, they could get a job if they wanted one. I see help wanted signs everywhere. Some of them probably could. But you know what makes them out there in the first place is that they're sick. Not particularly physically sick, and they may not be mentally sick. They're sin sick. And they haven't come to the conclusion yet that they're in the pig pen. But we need to say to them as we go the second mile, you know, you're in this pig pen. You don't have to be here. I know somebody named Jesus that'll pick you up out of that pig pen and put a robe of righteousness around you and a ring of fellowship upon your hand and give you some new shoes and joy in your heart. And all can be accomplished by going that second mile. So when that individual in the world has pushed you to the place that you want to turn around and practice another scripture that says when someone sues you for your coat, take it off and let him have it. You know, that's not double up your fist and black his eye. That means you'd be a little bit more calm than that. But we need to go that second mile and do all that we can to show the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. A dollar's not going to hurt you if you give it to somebody that's in need. A compliment doesn't hurt you. Even though sometimes in a home we know that everything is stressed out and I've got to go, and the wife ought to do what I want her to do because she knows I got to go. Well, you know, sometimes we on the other side need to understand that she's got some things to do. And the same thing about the children that we're raising. Understand that we can go the second mile, and going that second mile shows the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for these few moments tonight. I pray, Father, that you'd take these words, though they might have been illy spoken, and use them for thy glory and for thine honor. Father, you have the word of God for us for a reason. And Father, we pray that we'd just pick up that word and understand it and meet every need that we have as individuals and as a church, and that you might be glorified. We thank you for it, for we've asked it in Jesus' lovely name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Be here.